Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
For the final time this season, the Amazing Race Specialists are back, and we are here to talk about season 38 of the Amazing Race European Adventure. We are leaving Europe behind because it is the finale, despite what John just said, not knowing anything about the Amazing Race. We are in New York City, but before we get there, we are sad. Joseph and Adam are a bit lost, trying to find where they need to be. So I almost thought Izzy and Paige had a chance because they were like, oh, there's Phil. And then all of a sudden, Joseph and Adam find Phil, and it's devastating.
They almost got me with that. We see.
Oh, and then here comes Joseph.
What really got me was when Joseph and Adam were looking around and they're like, oh, there's Izzy and Paige. Like, we can now see the other team that has arrived. Like, that was the intense part. Like, usually they make it look closer than it is. This one looked quite close.
Mm-hmm. And they were holding the, like, little puzzle pieces and looking at the Eiffel Tower. And I was like, they're clearly in the wrong place. I forgot that it was like you just kind of turn around and then there is where you need to be. But I'm like, they're clearly in the wrong place. Izzy and Paige have a chance. We can do it, boys.
They had the chance.
But no, sadly, Izzy and Paige are out here in fourth place and Joseph and Adam are the final team racing in the finale.
Yeah. It kind of felt like it was going to go this way. Yeah. You know, Izzy and Paige, I thought, did a great job. They exceeded my expectations. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would have been cool to see Izzy go up against Jag like one last time.
Yeah, right. You know,
didn't happen, unfortunately.
So they are equalized, but they did let us know the times that they were leaving. Jag and Jas were leaving at 10:46, and Kylan and Taylor 11:41, and then Joseph and Adam 11:55. So mm-hmm. Jag and Jas just get off somehow to a commanding lead always, and the fact that they are finishing an hour before second place is just crazy to me, and I don't know how it happens.
I don't either. I mean, we've seen them be equalized, we've seen them be U-turned, we've seen them have navigation difficulties or trouble getting transportation, mm-hmm. and yet they somehow come right back, get a commanding lead, whether they're equalized or not. Like, mm-hmm. it's just it, it's really something else.
Magic.
Like, I just got to give it up because, like, what the heck?
They are flying to New York City with $550 in their pockets.
Very specific amount, by the way.
Yeah. $550. I was a little upset that they didn't have to deal with the subway. Like, it was all taxi driven and not like real New York City navigation. The only time they had to do that was when they had to go to deliver something. And I'm like, but why couldn't we have the navigation? Because maybe then we see some people usurp Jag and Jas, because Taylor and Kylan were right on their heels. So if they miss a train or go the wrong way, you know, that really could have impacted everybody.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah, you're right. They did not make enough use of that. And New York City is a city where there's a lot of methods of transportation. So what I thought could have been cool is if from task to task, it was like, okay, right now you have to travel by subway. Then the next route info, you have to travel by taxi. Then travel on foot, because you see that all the time.
Right.
So getting a little bit of a mixture, I think, would have been, that like, would have been more true to the location.
Yeah, that would have been a very dynamic also for them to try and navigate certain aspects of their day, too.
Yes.
So the first thing, route info, is to go to the Empire State Building. Jag and Jas lucked into a Sikh taxi driver. And so they were able to speak to him in is it Arabic, I think, or Sikh language. I'm so bad. And they were able to just like navigate the race with a New York City taxi driver who shared like their same values. And it's like that the amount of taxi drivers in New York City.
Yeah.
And they found one guy who was like, I got you. Oh, thank you.
Punjabi. That's it. They Punjabi. Said that too. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was a really, really nice break for them. I feel like it's a balancing out from the bad cab drivers that they had to go through before. But yeah, it was crazy because then they held on to that guy for the rest of the leg. And, you know, we see, did Kylan and Taylor's guy like leave them?
I think they got rid of the first one that they got from the Empire State Building. And then the one they caught at the Empire State Building, they kept throughout.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was nice to have somebody that you knew this guy wasn't going to leave you. And you could explain to him when you're in different countries and you're telling people we're in a race for $1 million. They're probably not going to know.
Yeah,
they're probably not going to know what that means, but if you're talking to him in the same language, you know, and he feels like he's at home with you guys, like that was that was a big advantage for them.
So then they had to, once at the Empire State Building, Kyle, they had to rappel down the Empire State Building. It is a route info, you cannot get out of it. And this like stress of us trying to even out roadblocks doesn't matter.
All for naught. McKenna, this is where we gracefully bow out of the race.
No, Kyle, you can't do that.
Just kidding. Just kidding. I would do that, but I would be like Adam for sure. Just like, I think got on there and started doing it, like I would be fine. But yeah, let's talk this out, because I was like, oh my God.
Only 20 people have done this, and now you're adding 6 more. And that you have to like rappel from the 100 and something floor to the 90 something floor. And it seemed to me, I would have thought this was so much fun. Like,
yeah,
I'm on top of the Empire State Building. When can you say that?
I know you can't. you have to do it for the experience.
You're still talking about this hypothetically, and you're paralyzed in fear.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they had to go from the 103rd to the 90th, which is 13 stories, right? Which is funny, because the Empire State Building does not have a 13th floor.
Right.
So that was a, well, yeah.
Bad luck.
If I was like doing something where they said only 20 people have ever done this before, no way, man. But no, it would. I mean, looking out, like, I bet it was so cool. You know, yeah. When you can see the New York mm-hmm. skyline from as high as you can possibly get, and something that only 20 people have done.
Yeah,
had, you know, that experience is worth it.
Good. Because I don't want to push you off.
Yeah, you would like, push me down 13 stories.
Yeah. You know how Joseph and Adam were like, yeah, and just inch it. I'm like, go. Yeah, no,
come, pull that rope. That's right.
Jag and Jas were ripped right through it. They were fine. They even paused a little bit to enjoy the view, apparently. Oh,
yeah, Jas was taking his sweet time getting down the thing, but... I guess when you're up there, you know, you got to take it all in.
Taylor and Kylan were there at the same time as them, but just a little bit delayed. Mm-hmm. And of course, a little bit delayed. And it's like, nobody can catch them. Yeah. And they were fine with everything. It was just Adam who had his difficulties with the height. Joseph seemed to do okay as well. And then we get the route info to go pick up a package at this bakery and then go to another address. They don't say, like, deliver cookies to Cookie Monster or anything like that.
Another address.
And so they have the cookies. They deliver it. They open the door, and it's like, oh, we're in Sesame Street. And it was just like, the scene that I didn't know I needed in a finale, because it just brings you back to being a child. And I was like, man, I can't wait until I have a kid, because then we can go to Sesame Place, because I'd be really weird just going to Sesame Place right now.
Sorry, you need an excuse to go, but it's really just for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this was an amazing route info. The scene with Phil and the Cookie Monster
was
just perfection.
Them nom-nomming the cookies.
Oh my gosh. Then
when Oscar pops up out of the trash can to give the clue, like, this is a route info that just, like, soothes my soul rather than, like, me hating it, because this is really a nonsense route info. But. Oh, yeah. it was Sesame Street, so it was like
so cool. Great. If you could have a fictional character hand you a route info clue, who would you have?
We gotta go to Disney World. I feel like I gotta get it from Mickey. Like, that would be so magical.
Yeah, that's true. That's hard to beat. Like, at the castle, I would probably have Scooby and Shaggy.
Oh, that would be my answer.
I would get, we would deliver a 20 decker sandwich from the deli and take it to.
Love that. We have to transport it through the city. Like,
that's right.
Like, holding it on either end because it's so long. Yeah. That would be great. So that clue that Oscar the Grouch gives them, they have to go to the spandex house, find 5 different fabrics, but they could have multiple rolls to them, so they have to figure out how many they need, and then deliver them 11 blocks to FIT. Mm-hmm. Fun fact for those of you listening, I actually applied to FIT, did not get in because they were only accepting 25 students to the program that I was applying to, but I've been to FIT and toured it, so it is fun watching a leg of the Amazing Race in New York City, and especially not like watching, I don't know, season 15 and they're in New York City because it's so different, but they were literally just here at a certain, I don't know when exactly they wrapped filming. I didn't look at the date, but they were just here now in a city that I was in this weekend. So
I had to have felt a little surreal.
I know. And then going to a college that I applied to, I was like, this is wild, man. So if only I was in the city that day and they, like, I just happened upon them, that would have been crazy.
Oh, then you would have been spoiled the whole season.
I didn't even think of that. That would have been crazy. Or at least spoiled on like one or two teams.
Yeah.
But So they had to navigate these two carts full of these rolls of fabric to FIT. A bunch of two teams in Jag and Jass and Taylor and Kyland divvied out the weight unevenly. And then Joseph and Adam like tied their carts together and rolled on through, which why weren't the other teams doing that? It seemed like that was working pretty good for them.
Yeah, I don't know. There were some interesting strategies, you know, different strategies. I liked this challenge. I thought that the finding the fabrics was going to be more difficult.
Yeah, same. It seemed like so intimidating with the amount of fabric the store had.
Yeah, but the real challenge was the transportation. Because, yeah, you have these awkwardly long things through the streets of New York, you know. Like,
and yes, you're right. We do not give anything. We're walking here. You watch out.
Yeah. And then you had Jass and Jag get their fabric tangled up in the wheel. But that just was another situation where these guys just kind of showed that they are so well rounded. Like they'd have it. Like they just they knew how to turn the wheel. Like they knew what was going to work. They never get flustered.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, of course.
I was like, this is the moment. Kyland and Taylor.
Right.
Kyland and Taylor. This is the moment. And then
it just
never came.
Nope.
So they then delivered it and they had to go to Terminal One Studios and solve an amazing race crossword. I loved this for the final challenge. This was an amazing final challenge because it wasn't just, all right, we memorized the countries, put them in order. It was different aspects about each leg that, all right, what's the currency from this one? Who made the bridge from this leg? This, that, and the other thing. Plus amazing race terms. And I just thought that was a very unique way to do the final challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I loved it. I love crosswords too. So this was like a really, really cool thing to see. It fits the location and it's something different that, you know, we know the last one, right? It's like you memorize the flags or the order of the countries, you put them in order. It's the same thing. This was not. And then you had like a first strike, last strike, like you had some clues in there that you had to really think about. You couldn't just remember things. You had to work through what they were asking. And then it still wasn't even done because you had the highlighted letters, which I also thought was a great aspect.
Yeah, a second step. You like think you're good and then you're like, oh, we have to go somewhere else. Never mind. I was so hoping that this first strike, second strike was going to trip Jag and Jass up more than it did. Because once they got the name of the correct currency, they figured the other two answers out immediately. And Taylor and Kyland got there while Jag and Jass were still there.
Yeah.
But they were so far ahead. And I was like, maybe, just maybe, with Taylor and Kylan's brains, they could, you know, and move fast and get this puzzle while they're trying to still think of these two things. Because I honestly was puzzled for what first strike and last strike could be.
That like, was so hard.
I didn't understand how they incorporated it. And then I was like, oh, that was so long ago, the bowling that they did in the first leg.
That's insane. Like, how do you even, all the things that you've done in this race that you have to remember that. I wasn't sure how I felt about them highlighting the letters in red when you were wrong. Like, it showed you where you were wrong. I didn't like
that either.
Yeah. Because, like, I guess they could have been there forever, you know. But, because it made it a little too easy, I guess. Like, this wasn't an easy challenge, but it made it
easier
because of that.
Jag and Jass pulled to them and was like, this is not correct, but we're just gonna check. And then it's like, all right, you are wrong. Let's swap the Z's.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like when you have two letters wrong. Like I think Taylor and Kylan, when they checked, they had two letters wrong. Or was it Jazz and Jack? One of them. And it was like,
yeah, okay, Jazz and Jack had the Z's in Blizzabar and Hazard switched.
Yeah, so it's like it's easy. If they didn't see those, they would have been stuck there forever. So, and that could have been the chance.
Taylor and Kylan. Somebody else. Yeah. Joseph and Adam did arrive while Taylor and Kylan were still there, but they were slow moving. It almost seemed like it was dark by the time they were leaving.
It sure did.
By the time they were leaving the warehouse, but they got the clue of Yankee Stadium, and their pit stop for the final leg of the race was the good old Yankee Stadium. And we saw Jazz and Jack get their win here, and they were deserving winners. Mm-hmm. They have crushed this race like nobody I've ever seen, aside from Tucker and Eric. Like, those two guys are insane. Jag and Jas are insane. And I'm just astonished at how perfectly they could run the race.
Yeah, it's kind of outstanding. I mean, obviously Jag is undefeated now. Like he's one of the best competitors
Survivor
in reality show history. I mean, there's no evidence to say that he,
Traitors.
He wouldn't win that. Traitors. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing because it's like you look at these two guys and you wouldn't think that they would be like these.
They just seem like average built guys, and
But they're good at everything somehow. And I guess one thing we haven't talked about is their dynamic together. Mm-hmm. Like we said already, they never got angry, right? They never fought with each other. They were level-headed even when things weren't going their way. And that is clearly a really important aspect to have, because pretty much every other team in this race had something go wrong for them, and they didn't always react the best way. But I can't recall a time where Jazz and Jag ever let anything get to them. And that just allowed them to keep pushing
ahead.
They've
always been cool, calm, and collected, and you know, moving forward throughout the race. All right, this tripped us up. We'll just keep going and do the best we can. They've never had interpersonal bickering. Because I think they were just running smooth legs of the race. There was no like, you mess this up for us. There was no moment of like, you struggled so bad. What the heck is wrong? Or like, you got the wrong directions. Like,
right. They never had any navigation issues.
Yeah. They just always pushed forward and succeeded. So what's to bicker about?
Very true. They never had a reason. But also what's crazy is that like Jag, we knew was like good at challenges, right? Like he has the record. His brother, now there's another one who is like, he was like just as good.
Like, yeah. What? That, and the fact that they were like, we're in our late 20s. Life is just starting. Now we got $1 million. We can retire our parents and all that jazz. Oh, and it's just like, wow. I'm also in my late 20s and talking about you winning $1 million.
Yeah, that's right.
they were sensational throughout this leg of the race. Taylor and Kylan come in second. And like they said in like the pre-package, it was a journey to get to second place here. They clawed, scraped, did whatever they could, and also were a solid team. If they were on a season of just regular amazing race like Derek and Claire were, easy win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. They're also good at everything, right? Like they're they're both well-rounded individuals and they clearly worked well together. They were up against these guys. So yeah, on a normal season, I think that they would have just cruised.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of Big Brother teams that come onto the race do very well and make it at least to the finale.
Winners off the top of my head from Big Brother on the Amazing Race. Yeah.
So and they're Big Brother, Big Brother pairs too.
Yes. Yes.
So and then we have Joseph and Adam that are just like the heart of this season. It was fun that they made it to the finale, but I knew that they weren't gonna be the contenders that I needed them to be. But their journey together as brothers, they were just like the story, and I wanted a little bit more of their story throughout this. We got a lot of just who's gonna wins throughout the entire thing when we knew who was gonna win.
Yeah.
So they could have afforded a bit more time to spend with Joseph and Adam, I think, but they were great throughout this entire season, and it really turned me around on Joseph as a character in the reality TV world, and also bring Adam on something. He's great too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they were personally my favorite team to watch throughout this season. I thought their relationship was great, and like you said, Joseph was the breakout to me because he was kind of boring on Big Brother, like just you know, no offense, but he kind of was. But on this show, he was like the life of the party, right? Like,
yeah,
he was. This was amazing to see these two, and I was happy for them that they made it, because they did overcome a lot, especially Adam. You know, I think that this was like great for him personally. Yeah.
And I always love that the Amazing Race brings every team back for the stop. And I was just like, oh yeah, remember when Matt was on the season and him and his wife were getting lost all the time? What a throwback. Oh, yeah.
Enzo probably just like hopped on the subway and like came over for a minute and just went
home. If we were in the finale and it ended in New York City, I'd be like, do I have to be here anymore? Can I just take the train home?
Can I go
like,
back?
Do I have to go with your form of transportation home? Or because Yankee Stadium is a train stop for me into the city. So like, it's a train stop for me leaving the city. Can I just like pop out?
That's so crazy. So,
I liked this season more than I thought it would. More than I thought I would. I was very skeptical coming into this season, especially with the first episode and how it started. The second episode definitely picked up, and I think overall this was a good time. It would be interesting to see another Amazing Race, Big Brother, Survivor crossover again. Now that we have some more people in the universe that are like reality TV, like fans and things like that. Like we pulled Rupert and Laura for Survivor, but now we have so many of these new era, like fresh faced people that are dying to be on another show.
Yeah.
And now let's put them on the race to race around the world. Like that would be so much fun to watch.
Yeah. We probably will see more of this. Cause
imagine like Cody and Jesse together, Brett and Chris. That would be crazy.
That would be, I'm trying to think of like who would be like the dream combination of people to go on, but yeah, they would be a great one. What would also be interesting is if they brought in like 13 reality TV contestants and 13 civilians and paired them up.
Oh, like
the, we've seen the like blind date seasons.
Yeah, the blind date.
But have it be with
you don't have a partner seasons.
Yes. So do something like that. So,
that would be fun.
Who comes out on top, right? Yeah. Rivalry going with them, but then you also get some new people who can make it far because they're attached to those people.
Well, if you want to hear more of a deep dive on did this season work? Did an All Big Brother season work? Did the European Adventure season work? Celestine and I are breaking that down over on the Patreon this weekend. So now's the time to become a patron because it's half off until the finale of Survivor.
Ooh.
The finale is of The Amazing Race has come and gone, but Survivor's next week and you still could become a patron. Also, are you wanting to go to Bryson Wen for the finale? Well, use code PHIL, P-H-I-L, all lowercase, for 20% off of your tickets. So
I hear that's a good time.
Yeah. You know what? Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
We do rock. Anytime. We'll cover it anytime. Alrighty. We will talk to you at some point when the next season of The Amazing Race comes back, and we'll hit your screens then. All right. Goodbye, everyone.